That is a beautiful song that we've just sung and full of truth for this morning, for many who are here. And so I want us to come to the Word of God now, because I think he's got some things to say through the Word of God that relate to that wonderful choice of song, Catherine. If you've got a Bible or an app or a pad or whatever, you might want to put one finger in Exodus 20 and one finger in Matthew 5. See, the Bible people have it because they can put fingers between pages, the apps. You might be able to find things quicker, but you can't put your fingers between the pages. But anyway, we're looking at Exodus 20 and Matthew 5. For those who are visiting, we're going through a little series on the Ten Commandments, called Just Ten, that go from number 10, and then 9, 8, 7, going through them backward. And we started with a title that was Finding True Contentment, all around You Shall Not Covet. And then we looked at Holding to the Truth, You Shall Not Lie, Prospering with a Clear Conscience, You Shall Not Steal, and then Affair, Proving your Relationships, You Shall Not Commit Adultery. They were the ones that we've looked at the last few weeks. And this week we're looking at managing your anger, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. That is what we're looking at this morning. And so I'm speaking to murderers this morning. And some of you might have done, I don't know. But before you think it's not to all of us, the title actually is Managing Your Anger, which narrows it, or expands it a little bit more, doesn't it, from murder. So, and I guess for many of us, actually, there is something to get from these simple words, you shall not murder. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And so we're going to press on through that. I heard one wife say, my husband is so temperamental, 50% temper and 50% mental. I thought that made me smile. It made me smile anyway. J. John, who wrote this program, has got some wonderful one-liners, and some of them just slip in to what we're going to be going through this morning. I just love that. But anyway, just to get us going, murder is a serious crime, isn't it? I mean, it is a serious crime, because once it's done, it can't be undone. I mean, it is a crime that, you know, once it's done, it can't be undone. In the UK, there were 709 murders last year, up 25%. On the news, we read of the upsurge of knife crime in London, 55 kids killed since January in London, just with knife crime. I mean, it's in the news, isn't it? It's a relevant topic. It may be written thousands of years ago when Moses came down. But it's as relevant today, isn't it? In the US, there seems to be killings in schools every month, doesn't it? In the news, it's almost become normal. Terrorists, killings, there's so much of it in the news. You can't escape from this topic in many ways. But the commandment, I think, points more than just homicide. It's relevant to the whole upsurge in violence that there is. Just look at computer games these days, and the level of violence is going up and up. It's bound to have an impact, I think. Watch films and you see violence. It's almost celebrated these days in many ways. And anger gets in the news too, doesn't it? The phrase road rage. I know none of you probably have experienced road rage, but it was only invented in 1997, apparently, when it was first listed in the Oxford English Dictionary. But it's a term that's familiar now, isn't it? It to describe our reactions to those who we think are unfit to drive. That's usually the way it is, isn't it? That we get angry with the way that they are driving. I read a statistic, 42% of workers reported that yelling and verbal abuse took place where they worked. I don't think that's amongst the Jubilee staff that are employed, but might be, I don't know. High, isn't it? 23% of workers had been driven to tears because of yelling and verbal abuse in the workplace. You think, crumbs, this is so relevant, isn't it? This actual topic. And many people struggle to manage their anger. And if we're honest, many of us can sometimes, can't we? I remember Hayley and I going into our little boy Joe when he was 4, where he was really cross. And he said, I think he was 4, he might have been a bit older than that. And he said, "Mummy, you just don't understand. I think I need anger management lessons." And he was just having an off day. Probably his little hormones bubbling around. But we all want to know how to handle anger, don't we? Handle ourselves well in this area. But it's even more challenging than that, really. You see, we can actually break this commandment by passive inaction, too. You know, if we send a person away naked when we could clothe them, we may let them freeze to death. If we see someone suffering from hunger and don't feed them, we may have let them starve to death. I mean, actually, it provokes us beyond even anger, doesn't it? See, the commandment mandates us to pursue things that preserve and enhance life too. It's not even just about the damaging stuff. And so this is relevant, this few words, these 4 words. You shall not, 5 words, commit murder. It also relevance for some of the most significant and difficult topics of our time, I would say. Because it's not only about crime and murder or road rage. I'm just catching up now on the pictures. But it also relates to the sanctity of life, you know. The sanctity of all human life from every stage of development, right from conception through to natural death. Therefore, it touches on some of the most complex and difficult topics of our time, I would say. Abortion, euthanasia. It speaks into racism, gangs, war. It talks into subjects that are profoundly difficult in our day. And in a similar way to last week, Jesus just ups the game. So last week we looked at how Jesus sort of raises the bar. It said, do not commit adultery, that was last week. But Jesus raises it higher. He says, you've heard, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. You see, Jesus took these 10 commandments and went deeper with them to what the real issues were. You see, when we hear the law, we can feel innocent. You know, I haven't murdered anybody. And Jesus was saying, you've not got it. You need to look behind that, at the state of your heart. And so, Matthew chapter 5, it says this. Why don't you all read it to me? You have Oh, I love the way the message translates it. Let me read it to you. You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly calling a brother idiot, or you might just find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you're on the brink of hellfire, he says. Simple moral fact is that words kill. And this is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge against a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. And then, only then, come back and work things out with God. Or I say, you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail. And if that happens, you won't get out without a stiff fine. I mean, I love the Message translation. It makes it very real, doesn't it? That do not murder is way more significant than murder. It's about the state of our heart. And it has comments to make into bullying, domestic abuse, prejudice, grudges, resentment, prejudice, racism, bitterness. All these things harm life, actually. And that's what Jesus is trying to encourage his people to get below the surface on. So it's really relevant, isn't it, this passage? It's relevant to everyday life. In fact, for some of us, every hour of our life, isn't it? Maybe a few of us every minute of our lives, I don't know. But it's relevant, isn't it? Sometimes our language is so full of deadly venom, you know. You know the phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but birds will never hurt me. So wrong, isn't it? I love this little picture. I don't know if you can quite see the hand, but so often people have had things spoken over them when they're young. Words spoken that can shape people. And do you know what? God is here to heal folks who've experienced the bad side of anger. I remember pastorally talking to somebody, and just in their tears, they said that their mother, decades ago, had said to them, "I wish you'd never be born." And you can see how those words have just shaped this soul. But there is hope, you know, because God is the healer. And these words that can so easily harm people, there can be healing that's found. And that is part of our journey as we look at this passage, you know. Sometimes it's not even words, is it? You know the phrase, looks could kill? In a sense, they can, you know. Rage, hatred are murderous things, and they can distort our demeanor so that even our faces reflect death. It's written all over his face. These are powerful things, aren't they, when you start thinking about do not murder? I read this, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that would be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. And sometimes people just annoy us, don't they? Well, maybe it's just me. People sometimes wind us up. There's different expressions of anger, just as another little introductory comment, really. There are different ways we express anger. There's the maniacs. Have you come across those? They're the exploders. They blow up, throw things, yell, rage, and it all spills out from them. Do you know those? Maniacs put their mouth in gear before they engage their minds. I love some of J. John's one-liners. He says, you know, temper is the one thing that you cannot get rid of by losing. I thought that's great. I like that. People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. I quite like that one as well. People who blow a fuse are usually in the dark. You obviously didn't find these. I found these really funny. Anyway, I perhaps better stop there then. But there are those who explode with anger. But there are those who are the mutes. Have you come across those? They're the deniers, the repressors, those who don't like to admit they're angry. My mum was one of those. She's so nice, never lost her temper. But do you know what? She was mute sometimes. They stoically put on a good front. But people who operate with repressed anger hold their anger in. But you know what? We never bury it dead. We bury it alive. And it just carries on working within us, even if we suppress it. And it's usually our body that feels the effect of repressed anger. Heart attacks, blood pressure, or ulcers, or whatever. It has an effect on us. Seneca was an old wise person in 50 AD who said this. I love this quote. Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than to anything on which it's poured. I thought, I love that. If we repress anger, it does something to our souls. So there's the maniac, the mute, and there's also the manipulators. Have you come across those? Their anger is done in underhand ways. Sarcasm, jibes, little insults, hurtful humor. They manipulate people out of their anger. So I don't know if you've come across any of those people or whether you want to reflect on whether you're any of those people. Because if you are, this verse is for you. So how do we manage our anger? Just in a few moments. First point I want to make is it's really important to understand what anger is. You see, anger is not necessarily wrong. It's what we do with it that's important. In the Bible, the word angry or anger is used 455 times, and 375 of those relate to God's anger. Jesus himself was enraged with justifiable anger at the money changers in the temple, wasn't he? You see, we're taught, let's read it together, shall we? In your anger, do not sin. You see, anger isn't necessarily wrong. It's what you do with it that is the problem. The issue isn't then how even you necessarily get rid of all forms of anger, but it's how we can we express it in non-destructive ways. See, there is a legitimate anger. In fact, there's an anger that can bring energy to fight injustice. It can energize change. One of the ancient Franciscan benedictions was this: may God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. See, there is a type of anger that is actually positive and causes change. So we need to understand anger. See, anger also can be a signal to something that we need to deal with. This is another type of anger. I love the phrase signal emotions. When we've got negative emotions, obviously often they're signaling something. If I'm driving along a motorway and the red warning light flashes on my dashboard, I've got a number of options. I can pull over and I can go and get a hammer out of my boot of the car and come and smash the light. And then it won't annoy me anymore. But the trouble is, if you do that, you're not really dealing with the issue. And sometimes anger, when it's a negative emotion, sometimes it's pointing to something that we need to deal with. Often it's a blocked goal. Getting all psychological on you. It can be, you know, if you need people's respect and they don't give it to you. Sometimes anger might point to the fact that you need people's respect. Do you know what? They can be helpful. Sometimes we need to journey with somebody who's experienced helping us through our negative emotions to understand what they're pointing to. I mentioned earlier that we don't bury negative emotions dead, we bury them alive. and they cluster to other things. So I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you've done something just, you know, marginally bad and somebody explodes at you. It's often not that thing that is what they're bringing to it. They're often clustered to it, all sorts of other pain and frustration and hurt. So often anger can point us to things that it's good to deal with and get healing and get recovery from. Sometimes we need to talk to people. Sometimes anger is just physiological, isn't it? Hayley's very clear on this one once a month, and I'm very clear on this as well. You know, teenagers, sometimes you just get angry. Kids, there's times, isn't there, in their development where there's all hormones going around. And there's just physiologically, sometimes we get angry. And we need to be sensitive. It's not all bad anger. Some anger's good. Some is pointing to things that we need to deal with. Some is just physiological. So we need to just have some insights into anger is a place to start in terms of managing our anger. Second thing is to admit to our anger. Let's read this together. Let all... See, sometimes we have to admit it, don't we? I think it's so important. Sometimes we have to admit to ourselves, sometimes to our partners, a friend. Ultimately, you know, we need to admit it to God. We make things worse when we pretend it's not a problem. And in order to stop defeating ourselves, we must first stop deceiving ourselves. Sometimes we've just got to admit to ourselves that we're feeling angry, or this is destructive. We've got bad feelings, attitude. If we don't talk it out, we'll take it out on people sometimes. That's why I love the help of counsellors. They can be really helpful. Because if we don't admit it and talk about it, sometimes we just take it out on ourselves or on others or even on God, you know. So it's worth admitting it. Second point. Third point, dealing with it immediately. You can't shake hands with a clenched fist, someone said. If we hold on to our anger, it has an impact on how we relate to people, you know. Don't hold on to anger longer than you need to. Don't let it turn into a grudge. Another one of J. John's one-liners. People who fight fire with fire usually end up with ashes. I like that one. You see, it says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and don't give the devil a foothold. So often we can give the devil a foothold. When we hold on to anger, it's particularly a good verse for husbands and wives, I would say. Don't go to bed angry. Hayley and I have tried not to do that. Because we do get angry with each other sometimes. One more, she gets angry with me. But that's the thing. I'm really honest. We did one on truthfulness, didn't we? You see, if we go to bed angry, do you know what it like eats us? It's like a parasite eating into our soul. It's not worth it. We need to deal with it. See, peace of mind is better than giving them a piece of your mind. Isn't it? I read that this made me smile as well, sorry. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should snore aloud. I will make him a wife with elbows to be his helper. And God saw that it got good. That was just a bit too, that's for Hayley and I. I'm the snorer. A wife was asked, do you wake up grouchy in the morning? And she said, no, usually I let him sleep in. Anyway, Do you know what? It's good to deal with things straight away, as soon as we can, rather than let them fester. And do you know, sometimes it takes a lot of strength to forgive. It takes more strength sometimes than it does to inflict revenge. And yet, do you know what? God ultimately is the judge. It says this in Romans, "Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For it's written, 'I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it,' says the Lord." It's important for us as Christians to get that in our minds, you know, that God ultimately is the judge. Frees us from having to be that. Fourth point, stop and think before you speak. A lot easier for some than others. You see, when you speak when you're angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. Do you know, I've written so many emails, and in my younger days I'd send them. Now I've learnt that sometimes I write emails and then I don't send them, and I read them the next day and I just check. Because sometimes we can say things just too quickly, can't we? Sometimes you need to stop and think before we speak. Sometimes if you keep your mouth shut, you won't put your foot in it. And often we just put our foot in it, don't we? Let's read this these verses together. Be quick to listen. They're great verses, aren't they? Stop and think before we speak. Finally, just be filled with the Spirit. This is so important, I think. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How do we get self-control? One way is by letting God's presence live within us. Because a fruit of his presence within us is self-control. And so today we can ask God to develop self-control in us because it's a fruit of his Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is so important in this area, so helpful for us in this area. So they were the top tips. How do we manage our anger? We understand it first, we admit it. We deal with it immediately, we stop and think before we speak, and we ask God to fill us with his presence that enables us to become more self-controlled. Because do you know what? Jesus has got so much to say about this and for us in this. Having Jesus within us is a powerful thing. I've benefited from knowing the presence of Jesus in me in terms of how my anger is outworked. See, when the pressure is on us and when we get squeezed, when we're under stress, irritations, inconveniences, interruptions, whatever is inside us is going to come out. And if we have Jesus inside, I just love it that sometimes he comes out. Sadly, sometimes it's a lot more of me that comes out. But the good news is Jesus is wanting to transform us. He's wanting to do something powerful within us. See, society will say to the murderer or the lawbreaker is a criminal. But Jesus is the only one who can transform us. And isn't that good news? It is for me. He transforms hatred into love, bitterness into forgiveness, darkness into light. He's the great transformer. And so when we're full of him, there's a transformation that happens in our soul. And transformation is a wonderful thing. So the sixth commandment is so relevant, isn't it, to our day, I would say. Murder is the ultimate form of anger. But we've got to guard our hearts. Deal with anger. Keep it under control. Don't let it get to a point that it will take a life. even if that's metaphorically. So if you've committed a murder, do you know what? Jesus is here to forgive. If you have committed a murder in your heart, do you know what? He's still here to forgive. If you've ever committed murder with your words or a look, he's here to forgive. Do you need to get a handle on your anger? But you know, one way is to be filled with the very presence of Jesus, and then we have the right sort of anger. And it's a choice. God gives us a choice. Do you know what? The amazing thing is, God forgives even murder if we're repentant. Moses, who was given the Ten Commandments, murdered a man. King David, the great worshipper in the Old Testament, covered up adultery by murdering somebody. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. And God chose even murderers who had repented to make a positive impact in the world. And if God can use murderers, he can use any of us if we come to him and repent and ask that he would help us in this area. So there's great hope. 2,000 years ago, God allowed his son to be murdered. I may hurt people with my actions and attitude. I may hurt myself with actions and attitudes. Most of all, I hurt God, actually, because of my actions and attitudes. And ultimately, they are why he needed to send Jesus to die on the cross. And he reached out his arms in forgiveness to all those who had murdered. And on that Friday afternoon, anger and wickedness, hatred were overcome by love and forgiveness. And isn't that the joy of the good news that we preach? Jesus died with outstretched arms as if to embrace his executioners. See, God allowed his son to be murdered so that we could be given life and be transformed from being those who hate and despise, from those who bear grudges and bitterness, and those who take life, to become those who are life givers and peacemakers. Isn't that good? It is great. It is good news. Jesus changes everything. And you know what? I think he is here today. And he is here to heal. Because some have been harmed by others' anger in various ways. And do you know what? I believe God can heal because he's the great transformer. Yes. So I don't know if you've not encountered Jesus, I would love to introduce you to Jesus, because he is the one who can so radically transform us, heal us, forgive us. There's some really tender areas here, isn't there? As we're thinking about the bigger questions, abortion in the news on Saturday in Ireland. God can come and heal. Forgive. Maybe when I put that picture up of that boy with a hand round his throat, maybe that's you. You've felt a hand round your throat. People speaking negative things as you were growing up. Do you know what? God has got some positive stuff to tell you and speak into your soul. When he does that, that hand comes off and life comes. We don't need to have it throttling us anymore. Maybe you've committed murder in your heart. Maybe you've committed murder with your words. Maybe you need to get a handle on your anger. You know that you're volatile, and, or you're a mute, or you're a manipulator. Maybe you know there's prejudice in your heart. Maybe you're a racist. Maybe you're harboring violence just below the surface. Do you know what? I think this morning, it's like God is putting a great amnesty dustbin in the front of the room here. You know those? See those in the streets in London where they're trying to get all the knives off the streets, off drugs off the streets. You can just put them in. Do you know what God is saying? Bring me all your stuff and let me deal with it. I saw this illustration that washing machines have a device called an agitator, and in spite of all the detergent and fabric softener and the rinse cycle and the water, the one thing that ensures clothes get clean is the agitator, the drum, the thing that wiggles it all around. And you know what? God is the holy agitator. Sometimes he'll agitate something and he'll say, do you know what? It's time to deal with it. It's time to forgive. It's time to let go. Time to get some self-control. It's time to do it because he says, I love you. So can we stand? Because he wants to say he loves you. Catherine, do you want to come up and... One of the great joys of being a pastor is putting out the chairs at the beginning of a Sunday. No. is being with somebody when you know God is transforming them. Sometimes that's in a moment. Sometimes that's over a long period of time. But sometimes when stuff has happened to us, when there's lies we've just taken into our heads about ourselves, do you know what? Sometimes God comes and he says, I want to forgive, or I want to bring truth into this situation. I want to do something significant. And it's most the wonderful thing to see transformation happening. He's in the transformation business. And I want us to worship now and to come to him, because I believe he wants to just deposit something in our hearts once again about how much he loves us. He used Moses, who murdered, David, who murdered, Apostle Paul. So he, whatever you've done, you can come and repent at this point. If you've lost your rag, if you know anger's an issue for you, it's time to say, God, I come to you, just like those holy men did, and I ask you forgiveness. So there might be some repentance you need to do in this next couple of songs. But for others of you, you might have been impacted by anger. And I want to say, God is here to heal as well. And so as we're worshiping, just say, God, come, please come. Come and do a good work in my mind and in my heart, that I would know your transforming power this day. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to pray. Lord, forgive us all for when we have let our anger draw us into sin. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, that we would turn from that and to go a different way. Come, Lord Jesus. May people know forgiveness, I ask. For others of us, Lord, I pray that we would become more angry at injustice. And may the good type of anger cause us to do something, to stand up for those who are downtrodden, to protect those in our workplace, our college, who get bullied. May there be a righteous anger within us, I pray. And Lord, I ask for those who have been angered against, that you would gently come alongside, even in these moments, and bring healing. And I just say to any of you who are in that category, if you want to talk about it, come and talk about it. There's lots who are experienced in helping people deal with these sorts of things. And I just encourage you to speak up, speak to your growth group leader, or speak to Hay or I or somebody else, that somebody can journey with you through the transformation and healing that can come. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing upon us. And we ask, Lord, as we take on board this command, do not murder, that we would be the sort of people that are example to our community, that are those who can manage anger well. And we ask, Lord, that you would do a good work in us, that we would be a blessing to our community and our workplaces and our schools and our colleges, that the kingdom would advance, the kingdom of love and forgiveness and grace, and all the fruit of the Spirit would develop within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's worship. Thank you, Catherine.